Bulimia sucks, but you don't, and here's why. The Bulimia Sucks podcast with Kate Hudson Hall will teach you how to begin breaking through the multitude of thoughts, feelings, triggers, and urges to empower yourself to change your painful behaviors completely. You will hear proven strategies and solutions to help you in your recovery, including real interviews with real people. Kate has just released a new best-selling book called Anxiety Hacks, with proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Check it out now on Amazon. And now, another episode of Bulimia Sucks, the podcast.
Hello, my name is Kate Hudson Hall, and thank you for listening to Bulimia Sucks. And this is a platform for people to share relatable and uplifting and inspiring conversations based on an eating disorder. Now, these are real stories from people who are suffering or have suffered an eating disorder. And episodes include their personal stories of where they are now and their difficult journeys and their steps taken into their recovery. And then also to professionals who work with people with eating disorders. Now, my Bulimia Sucks audiobook is launching on Sunday, which is June the 27th. And if you'd be interested and would like a free copy of this, then please email me at katehudsonhall@gmail.com. And I can send you the code to download it for free on Audible, Amazon, iTunes. And then also on the 27th, we are launching Patreon. And so for those of you who don't know what Patreon is, it's a way for our viewers to support us financially and allow us to continue creating content and helping people who are struggling with eating disorders. Now, I'm very excited because we have a fantastic guest today, and her name is Jennifer Chrysoulas. She is a certified yoga therapist specializing in eating disorders and body image. She's the founder of Yoga for Eating Disorders, creator and host of Real Body Talk, which is an online interview talk show. And she's author of the book Body Mindful Yoga. And she's also an international speaker. So through her virtual school, Yoga for Eating Disorders, Jennifer offers individual yoga therapy, groups, yoga classes, and continuing education and mentoring for professionals. And also her writing about her personal journey of eating disorders recovery and professional experience as a passionate yoga therapist has been featured widely in the media. And also, her next book, which is coming out on April the 22nd, called The Courageous Path to Healing. So I'm very excited to welcome Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Kate. I could listen to you read my bio or just talk in general all day long. You have the best voice. Thank you.
Well, that's very kind. I'm not sure about that, but thank you. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
I'm so thrilled.
So now, how should we take this forward? We spoke earlier, I asked her if you had a funny story, and then we all were also talking about where you are in life now. Maybe we could just talk about that for a moment, because you're having a very difficult time.
I am, actually, yes. I am one of the long haulers, long COVID people in the world right now. This is affecting millions of people, right? So long COVID is, you know, the infection is long gone, but you are left with a variety or constellation of symptoms for an unknown amount of time. And it's very strange to have an illness that didn't exist a little over a year ago. And to be waiting on research and to be a part of, you know, this aspect of the pandemic, right? And I very much feel like, you know, here in the States, we're opening for good or ill, and I'm not I'm not able to kind of re-enter the world as the person who left it, you know? So
that you were before.
Yeah. But like I said to you earlier, Kate, and I guess the most important point that I'd like to share is that I believe my eating disorder recovery work really prepared me for this time, right? I mean, as painful as this is, as hard as it is, the recovery work prepared me to learn how to listen to my body, how to listen to my emotions.
Because you said that you've got such huge fatigue.
I do. I have huge crushing fatigue and brain fog and body aches and different things. And, you know, just luckily recovery and my training and my yoga practice studies, they've both prepared me for this time, I feel. I don't think I handle it every day with a lot of grace. I'm not saying, you know, I've got it under, you know, I've got this figured out. I'm, you know, crying all the time. I'm a mess, but I've done the work to learn how to listen to my body. And
absolutely. So you've already got that knowledge and that learning to be able to immediately, you know, tune into your body and think, well, hang on a minute. What do I need right now?
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh, I need to go and take some time out for me.
Absolutely. So this is another kind of, I'd put in the category of gifts of, you know, gifts from what, you know, the past of living with an eating disorder has given me. It's given me the preparation to be able to do what I need to do now for my health.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, we wish you a huge, speedy recovery from this.
Thank you. Thank you. And for anybody listening, sending that same wish to you as well.
Absolutely. So let's, if we can, maybe if you could take us back to when you, you know, when you had your eating disorder, so anorexia, and if we could start there and then sort of hear your journey and then about your new book coming out, because you've written a memoir, haven't you, about
Thank
the experience
you.
Also.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I guess there are like two pivotal times in my life that the eating disorder was very present. And that was when I was initially ill back in college. And then after my second daughter was born, so as a mother.
Right.
So, you know, the story of the eating disorder in college is, you know, I was on the crew team. I was a rower and I'd always been an athlete all my life. My goodness, I love sports so much. Basketball was my first love, right? And I never really thought about my body as anything but how I played sports and boxed out and ran fast and loved to sweat and be aggressive. And, you know, just I loved using my body in those ways and didn't really have a hyper awareness of it. And one day at crew practice, the coach decided to say, I can tell to the whole team, I can tell how hard you work by how your body changes. And the way I took those words in, right, as someone who's a perfectionist, was a people pleaser, who valued herself on her work ethic, wanted to be the best that she could for her team and her coach, you know, just that drive, I really took those words deeply in and felt like he was talking directly to me. And I want to make it really clear, like I'm not blaming him for an eating disorder, right? It was the way I received his words. And really, like after doing all the therapy work, understanding that the eating disorder was probably just brewing and waiting, and that comment was the thing that kind of kicked it into gear. There had been things in my life like loss and grief and different traumas that were kind of the setup.
Yeah. And Jennifer, I think that just is such a perfect example of the power of suggestion. You know, he didn't mean to, you know, it was just your interpretation of it. But it only takes one person to say one thing to somebody that part of the night hooks onto it and then they run with it.
Exactly. You know, it was he's probably trying to motivate us, right?
Yeah.
And who knows if anybody else on the team actually heard him say that the way I heard him say that, right?
It probably was just not.
How I received it, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, I found myself facing a new challenge. This was now I must prove myself through my body. And the only way that I could make sense of that was to shrink, because that's what we're told, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the smaller you are, the more worthy you are, which is just a dreadful, awful message. And I feel wrong even like saying those words, because they're just so nasty. But that's how I interpreted it. And within a year, I was hospitalized. I certainly did not set out to self-destruct, but that's what happened after, you know, decreasing calories, decreasing types of food, decreasing whole food groups, eliminating meals, you know, like over-exercising. I mean, it was just it was very, it took me down really fast.
Yeah.
So I had to leave college for a semester and go to treatment. And that kind of became a beginning of this journey of getting to know myself in ways that I never would have otherwise. You know, there have been a lot of gifts that have come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first, you know, kind of pass with it. And like I mentioned, I had a very, very severe relapse as a mother. And that was a very different type of experience than when I was in college.
So why was that different?
Well, the stakes were so high. I mean, I had a 2-year-old and a newborn, a husband, a career, this sense of like, you know better, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, but I was in so much overwhelm. I had terrible postpartum depression. Sleep deprivation, just life felt so chaotic. And the only way I knew to cope, right, my brain just, it was like, I didn't ask for it. Like my brain literally just snapped back to that mindset as a way to cope, as survival. But before my daughter, before my newborn turned one, I was in treatment. I had to leave and take care of what I needed to take care of. And that was painful, painful, painful to leave my daughters.
Yeah.
And I was terrified that I was traumatizing them, that they were going to feel abandoned. Gratefully, they were so young that they have no recollection of it to this day. But you know, that was a gift in itself too, because going away to treatment, realizing that, hey, you know, this overwhelm isn't going to go away anytime soon. They're babies. Like they're going to have, like, this is going to be an overwhelming way of life for a while.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to clarify, like, I'm not blaming my children, just like blaming
the coach. No.
I adore my children. But I had to just put my mind on, okay, what do I need in my life to be well? And to stay well, because I refuse to be a chronically ill mother in and out of treatment. And here I am today as a long hauler, a chronically ill mother. And I think, wow, you know, I'm so grateful I had the ability, and that we all have the ability when we're struggling with an eating disorder to put our mind on making new choices for ourselves, right? Okay. With support and guidance,
yeah,
motivation and a willingness, we can make new choices for ourselves. And I'm grateful that in my journey, I've been able to make the choices I need to make to get better.
And Jennifer, what do you feel that are some of the main choices that you know, going back to when the girls were young, what were some of the specific choices that you had to make then?
Well, the first one was I had to make the choice to acknowledge that, yes, I was suffering again.
Yeah.
And I remember it was Mother's Day and we went to a park, my family and I, and, you know, my husband had our 2-year-old, you know, riding on his shoulders, and I was pushing the baby in the stroller, and we just got to a point where I couldn't push the stroller anymore. I was just so weak from you know, starving myself again. And it was a very crystal clear moment for me of, this is not fair to them. This is not fair to my family. This is not the mother I want to be. This is not the role model I want to be for my children. This is not the woman I want to be. It was just so crystal clear. And I just remember my husband and I looked at each other and we didn't need any words. You know, it was a very clear understanding that it was time to make the phone call and to get help. And so the first choice was accept, you know, owning it and choosing to own it and then choosing to get help. Right. Yeah. And then it was on a day-to-day basis for a long time, choosing to eat, choosing to make the right next choice, right? Coming home from treatment, choosing to stay on the path, choosing to not give up when I wanted to, choosing to face the fears when I preferred to avoid them, right? Like it just had, it became a practice of choosing myself, really, and my family.
Choosing to change, yeah.
Choosing to change. Choosing to see that there's other ways to exist than through the lens of an eating disorder.
So choosing to actually see that and feel that.
Yeah.
And hear
choosing
it.
To fight, choosing to fight through, you know, the temper tantrums of, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I'm afraid. I don't, you know, it's like, no, you just gotta have to choose. And I think that's what's so powerful about recovery. And I say this to my yoga therapy clients all the time. It's, you know, when we're living in or with the eating disorder, we have no choice. We live by rules, right? We, and our world just gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower, and there are no choices. And recovery is about choice. It's about, as one therapist said to me, it's about expanding the realm of possibilities, right?
Yeah.
I think if we could look at recovery as that definition, it's about the power of choice and making new choices versus this, I think we get this idea that recovery is a destination. It's like way over there and it's up on a mountain. And, you know, well, can we just be with the choices today and let today be a day of recovery by making choices?
And taking it, moment by moment, isn't it? Making a choice and learning from that choice.
Exactly. And the more we make, the more consistent we are with making the choices that align with recovery or health or healing or wellness, whatever word you want to use, the more consistent we are, the easier those choices and the more natural those choices become.
Yeah.
So we have to commit. It's a commitment.
Yeah. And making that commitment.
Yeah.
What would you suggest to somebody that's in that stage of, you know, bordering on the edge of making the commitment to change, to stepping onto that recovery path? What would you say to somebody to guide them forward?
Well, I'd say, you know, I support you and encourage you to take that next step.
Mm.
Right? Support you and encourage you to take that next step and, you know, imagine the people or the things that you love, just that you're moving toward them, right? When you make that commitment, you're moving toward the things and the people that you love, and you're worth it. You know, you're worth it. Like, there's such a better life, such a better life. It's not always easy or pleasant, but self-destruction is never, it's always a dead end.
Yeah. So if you could turn back time and go back to that you know when you're in college, what would you say to yourself, knowing?
I would just curse at the coach now. I would just be like, F you, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
It's your problem, not mine. No, I think I'd be strong. I'd be much stronger. I'd be less vulnerable to feeling my worth was dependent on grades and all the kind of stuff that happens when you're that level, that age in your life, you know, so much social pressure and academic pressure. And, you know, it's a hard time. It's an overwhelming, stressful time for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what support did you have as you were working through your recovery?
I was really blessed to have a fantastic therapist. And she was with me through a big, big swath of time. When I relapsed, you know, I went to treatment, and I was blessed to have a wonderful therapist and team at treatment. And then coming out of treatment into day treatment and IOP and then, you know, the different levels of care. That's what we call them here in the States. I'm not sure what they're called where you are.
Yeah.
I was blessed to have a really strong team, a community of individuals going through the same thing I was. I think community is so important. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the keys to feel not alone, to feel validated, to feel heard and seen, to be able to say things to people who get it. And that's one of the things that I provide through my work is community, because I just know what it's done for me. And then, you know, certainly my relapse, my husband, been tremendous, tremendous support, my parents throughout it all. My yoga studies, yoga has been incredibly vital and key to my healing. And after I relapsed and got strong again, decided I need to return to yoga, because I had been teaching and practicing for a long time, but then I got married, I finished graduate school, got married, had kids, got a job, it all went away. And it was like this foundation that was holding me, you know, it just disappeared, because I was making different kinds of choices and not remembering that I needed that in my life. And so when the overwhelm came in like a crushing wave, I didn't have that foundation to turn to, and I needed it back. So getting back to yoga, like I said, once I got strong after my relapse, I started studying yoga therapy at a school near my house,
right,
which changed the direction of my life, and had no clue I'd be doing what I do now, working with others. Yoga therapy is different than a yoga class. It's a much different therapy.
So tell us about that, yoga therapy, for people that don't know.
Yeah. So yoga therapy is usually a one-on-one setting. And it's bringing in the tools and the philosophies and the practice of yoga to support people in their healing journeys, support people in the commitments that they want to make, the changes they want to make, the new choices they want to create. And so I'm not a therapist, so I'm not doing the processing work of the therapist. I'm not a dietitian. I'm not doing the work of the dietitian. What yoga therapy is the space where we can say, okay, so for example, your meal plan has changed. Your dietitian, you need to change your meal plan. And the client is now like flooded with anxiety and urges to use eating disorder symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Yoga therapy is the space where we can say, okay, well, how can we look at this through the lens of yoga? How can we create some grounding tools or some breathing practices, or bring in a philosophy of yoga to support you and help you cope with this anxiety in a healthy way?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's helping people recognize the resources
of the body. It's a huge part, isn't it, of recovery. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, anxiety is such a big word, I always say as well.
Absolutely. And I really believe
different things to people, can't it?
Absolutely. And I think when it comes to eating disorder recovery, we really need to include the body in healing the mind.
Yeah.
Right. And so yoga therapy is a space where we can do that and we can explore that. And so I see myself as part of the team. And I'm here to support the work that's being done with the other team members and to create a space where people don't feel like they're a diagnosis, you know, that they're human being having a human experience, and an eating disorder is part of their experience, but there's so much more to them than just that one piece. And so I'm holding space for people to kind of discover those parts of themselves.
Wow. And would they have weekly appointments with you?
Would that weekly be? Or every other week? It really depends on the client and, you know, what works for them. But we
and
also
it's virtual.
Offer, it's virtual. Yep, it's virtual. So I work with clients all over the world, and that's such a gift, right? Yeah. So we offer the one-on-one work, but then we also offer actual yoga classes that are for eating disorder recovery. We just had a great writing workshop the other weekend. We just do lots of really unique types of groups. And I have free yoga practices and meditations on my website. If anybody wants to explore them, they're welcome.
Yes, yes. And what is your website?
It's yoga4, eatingdisorders.com.
Fabulous. And so you're doing the virtual yoga, and what else is involved in that, and what else are you actually doing?
So one of our wonderful teachers, Heather McCornack, she's somebody that I've trained, and she's done extensive training on her own. She leads a 6-week yoga series called Move with Curiosity. And it's really exactly what the title says. It's just creating a safe, brave space for people to explore moving their bodies through yoga with curiosity. It's taught from the eating disorder informed lens, a trauma informed lens, mental health informed lens. We really strive to create spaces that are for healing, not for competition or fitness or any of the other types of stereotypes that kind of yoga has been made out to be. We're really bringing it back to the purpose of yoga, which is self-discovery. And it's a practice to help us learn how to suffer less. So that's the practices. They meet every week for 6 weeks for an hour, and they're virtual, and they're recorded if you sign up. So if you can't make the time, you can still do the
you
class.
You can still do it. Yeah.
And then I also have a real passion for teaching teachers and professionals, and lead what's called the Yoga and Eating Disorders Mentoring Group, which is for yoga teachers, yoga therapists, dietitians, therapists, anybody, coaches, movement specialists, anybody who wants to learn about the role of yoga in eating disorder recovery, and how do we deliver those practices in safe and compassionate ways. So we spend a lot of time talking about language and how do we deliver these practices to decrease the amount of triggering that's going to happen from the language used.
Yes.
We recognize that we can't control that all the time, but if we can be aware and knowledgeable about eating disorders, then we can show up and do our best to create spaces that lead people inward and not keep them stuck on their outward appearance. So
I think that's really interesting that you brought up about the languages, because that's so important.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. For people to understand that fully, but particularly for people that help others with eating disorders but don't, maybe didn't have an eating disorder themselves. So
absolutely. Yes, we are wrapping up the fourth cohort right now, and the fifth cohort starts in September. So it's really exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. So where else can people find you?
So they
on the
can
social
find me.
Side. Yeah.
Yeah. So we mentioned my website. Thank you. I have a really warm, supportive, caring community on the Yoga for Eating Disorders community Facebook group. So if people find value in being on Facebook and joining a group, they're welcome to join that group. I post guided meditations, yoga practices.
Tell us again the name of it. So,
Yoga for Eating Disorders Community Facebook group.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're welcome to join me there. I'm on Instagram, Yoga for Eating Disorders, same as Facebook. And my email is Jennifer@yoga4eatingdisorders.com. And I'm happy to be in touch with anybody who would like to reach out, say hi, ask questions, get involved in our community.
Yeah.
I welcome everybody.
Oh, fabulous. Now, Jennifer, tell us about your new book. We want to hear about your new book.
Yes, it's called The Courageous Path to Healing, yeah. And it comes out in April 2022, and it's a combination of my personal story and wisdom and practices that others can use to help bring their own stories to life in new ways and work on different aspects of their journey. It's really a book that invites commitment. Like, this is an opportunity for you to make that choice of commitment to your healing. And so that's the kind of the theme that runs through, and just validating how courageous it is to make that commitment. And my hope is that the sharing helps people feel less alone, and that the practices and things that I share and the reflection questions I share just help people, you know, continue to journey inward and do their personal work.
Wow. I need to read this book. I need to learn.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah.
So sounds fascinating.
Thank you. So I'm assuming pre-sales will be around the fall time.
Right. Okay. And so are you doing a paperback and an ebook?
I definitely am doing a paperback, and I'm hoping to do, I have to check with the publisher. Yes, there should be an ebook, and I'm hoping for an audio. Yes.
An audio book.
Yes.
Oh, you must do an audio book. You've got a lovely soothing voice, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there anything lastly that you would like to say to our listeners that are the depths maybe of their eating disorder?
I think message I'd like to share is, you know, definitely around commitment, right? Like, you deserve to take the time and space that is required of this commitment, and that you also deserve to protect your recovery and make your recovery a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't have to go it alone, right? Find the supports, the groups, the individuals that lift you up and speak your language and help you feel seen and heard.
Beautiful. Yeah. And help you to find your voice.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you, Kate. Boy, it was such a joy to be with you. Thank you.
You know, it'll be such an interesting path for people to, once they connect with you, to be able to have that guidance.
Thank you.
It'll be such a help. I know it would.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's all for today's episode of Bulimia Sucks. So thank you to everybody for listening. And of course, thank you so much, Jennifer, sharing your journey. And join us again on the next episode of Bulimia Sucks, and make sure you come and subscribe to the podcast on Apple iTunes so you never miss an episode. Plus also, as I mentioned earlier, my book is out on Amazon called Bulimia Sucks, just in case you didn't know, and where you can learn many different techniques to help you to begin to break through your painful bulimic behaviors. And of course, I'd love to hear what you think, so please leave a review. And make sure you come and join our Facebook group, Bulimia Sucks, if you haven't already, where it's great, like Jennifer said, to connect with like-minded people and to learn from them and have that underlying common connection is so huge and so beneficial for people. So thanks for listening, and I will speak to you in the next episode.
Bulimia sucks, but you don't. Kate has just released a new best-selling book called Anxiety Hacks, with proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Check it out now on Amazon.